when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'll have to agree with my little baby sister there, the brave heart, that man's one hell of a man. He said, not many people. And who are we talking about? We're talking about Jacob Goodwin, who just got out of doing a seven-year stretch in a penitentiary for just basically just defending himself from saving a lady's life. Maybe we can talk about a little bit of that later. But before I forget, I'd like to mention I talked to Lee Wilson this past week. And Lee Wilson, who is he, you say? He was the lead detective for the McMichael family. He's been working since day one, pro bono, I may add, for the McMichaels. And the next day, that same day, that afternoon, I was able to talk to Mrs. Leah McMichaels. She is the wife of her husband and son, who were serving two life sentences in a Georgia prison. One was serving a state sentence, life sentence, federal life sentence for hate crime. You probably remember when they got into the McMichaels. That was a big thing. We had a lot of several hours of radio with them. But I'd just like to remind you to keep them in your prayers. Also, they have they're trying to get a new trial. Lee said that the detective said that the first judge they know, they'll throw it out. It'll be thrown out, but they have to go through this. They have to get their card punched, so to speak. They have to go through the system. Then the next trial, the next judge after this one, they're going to appeal. He's more optimistic about it. But I mean, we're going to need a miracle here, folks. But I'm not going to say it's impossible because nothing is impossible. Anyway, people, you're still listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bob Deer Miller. We had Jacob Goodwin on the first hour. Now we're transitioning into my baby sister, the brave heart, Monica Schaefer. So I'm going to bring her in right now. How you doing, Braveheart?
Yes, doing very well. Thank you, and I hope you are too. You're sounding good, Eddie, after that break in September. I know you've been back a couple of weeks now, but still, that's really, really good to hear. You're back to your usual strength and your usual self. That's good. And I did listen in to the first hour, and just to remind people, I know you announced it in the first hour that this is being pre-recorded.
Thank you. Right now,
it's Wednesday, so this is pre-recorded a few days in advance of Saturday. And I'm glad I listened in there to that interview you did with Jacob Goodwin. And the biggest thing that struck me, and you just alluded to it now, because in the break we talked about it, but I am absolutely floored by how well Jacob Goodwin is doing mere days after getting out from a seven-year prison sentence. Like, I cannot imagine talking so clearly and lucidly and even just talking publicly at all so soon after getting out of 7 years hostile environment. I mean, I was only in for 10 months, but I can tell you, Eddie, that the culture shock that I experienced coming out, I never really knew what that expression meant before. People used to talk about culture shock after a traveling trip or whatever, just a, you know, a holiday style trip to another country, and then they say, oh, did you experience culture shock? And I never really understood that expression, because I never experienced anything like that, like shock, I don't know. But then when I came out of prison, I would say that is the closest thing that I experienced to culture shock, much more so than going in. And going in was shocking enough, but I don't know, coming back out, it took a while to kind of regain my, I don't know, my balance or whatever. But so anyway, yeah, that was really excellent. And Jacob did talk then when we were discussing it privately on the break there about his spirituality that helped him a lot. And that is wonderful. I think that is really, really true. And the thing that I added to that I would add is that if you're in prison, not for being guilty of something, but because you're wrongfully being put there by the criminal system, and when you have a clear conscience about it all, that helps a lot. That is really the foundation of what gives you the strength to go through anything. And boy, oh boy, Jacob Goodwin really exemplifies that. He's just, you know, he's strong and, you know, is just a really strong, what's the word I'm looking for? Stable. Like he's not, yes. You know, he's not been turned into some kind of a unstable. Well, I don't know. I'll just hand it back to you, Eddie, because I'm floundering for words right now.
I've never known you to flounder my whole life. But I do, because there'll be 12 or 13 things I want to say, but I only have one mouth. And I can't. And I have to say which one I want to say. But yes, Jacob's an incredible man. There were some other incredible men we talked to. For instance, we had Daniel Bordenone. And I'll go ahead and toot my horn. I'll make this real quick. We weren't on the air, I'm going to say 4 months, 3 to 4 months, and we were trying to do. We thought me and Matt Goodwin. We and Lee Cocker, we thought we were doing these. We got this radio show. We're going to free those from them. We're going to get those people out of prison. We're going to have this big, huge benefit for them in an out-of-state park. When it floundered, the people were supposed to be in doing it. It just turned into a flop. They were afraid the Antifa was going to come, Black Lives Matter, all this stuff. But getting back to Jacob Goodwin, you know, I'd like to read a quick thing. I seldom ever read stuff like this. I get to... A coach, Kevin Leathers, he was a national coach for the St. Jude Heroes. He got me taking this thing called the Daily Stoic. I think this can be related directly to what we've been talking about, how you can get down, you can get bitter, you can hate the world. But in some ways, you're playing into, if you let society, if you let the prison, if you let the, and I get to you too bad. And I can kind of associate what you're talking about. When I came home, when I was... separated the first time, when I came home from across the water, so to speak, I was in shock, you know, and I would only been gone 2 years. But here's the thing. This talks about being pessimistic and cynical. This comes from the Daily Stoic. And here we go. But this won't take me but a few minutes. It is easy to feel disillusioned. It's easy to feel cynical. The system, like in the days of ancient Rome, feels hopelessly broken. Corruption, incompetence, and dishonesty seem everywhere. The challenges are immense. The odds overwhelming. So why care? Why even bother? The Stoics would argue because you matter, because one person can make a difference. Imagine if Epictetus had believed that everything was beyond fixing, that Rome was too far gone. Not only would his life have been different, but so would Marcus Aurelius's, and by extension, millions of other Romans. Fast forward to modern times. General James Mathis, who's still alive, he pointed out that cynicism is a form of cowardice. And I must admit, sometimes I felt like a coward because I'm very cynical. Worst is self-fulfilling. It is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you convince yourself that nothing can be changed, that your actions don't matter, then you're right. But you've also surrendered as someone else, often aligned with the very forces that made you cynical, will step in to fill that void. And I remember the Braveheart herself talking about, I've heard her say many times, we can't let our demon enemy, the poisoners of the well, make us feel like it's hopeless, because it's exactly what they want to do. And yeah, when I read this article that I get each day, I don't always read it. I don't have time, but Coach Kevin Leather sent that to me. And I thought about you when I read that, Braveheart.
Well, that piece there, thank you for that last bit, but really that piece that you just read is one of the most important messages that we can impart to our people now, because that sense that nothing can be done, it's just all hopeless, is the most counterproductive, it's the most destructive sentiment that we could possibly have. And you know, you like to talk about solutions. Well, yes, the number one solution is to get rid of that sentiment, that
amen,
that sentiment of, well, there's no hope anyway, so you know, why bother. That is just, I mean, we wouldn't even exist if our ancestors had that attitude time and time again, because we've been down before, I'm pretty sure. You know, I'm not an expert historian, but I know we've been down before and we have risen up. So I do hear the music.
That's true. Well, that, I'm glad you heard the music. Dear Blood River Radio family, we'll be right back after this short break. Hang on to your seats.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, before I forget, and I don't have the ability to go to the website right now at hand, but the McMichaels, they have a website, and they also have, I believe, I don't know if they still have a Gibson Go account. I don't know if it was taken down, but the lead detective told me that Lee Wilson said that this, he's working, he's pro bono. The attorneys working for the McMichaels are pro bono, but the debt is incredible. It costs so much money to go to these different courts, especially when you're going in a federal court. So if you will, see if you can go to their website and send in a few dollars. I mean, I think everybody can send in a few bucks. help them out, because even though you may think it's hopeless, it may not be hopeless. Maybe God wants to see if there's enough people here on earth to put their faith in action. Just like, and it just came to me, just like Lot, you know, Abraham's nephew, Lot, when Abraham went to say, hey, I want to, dear God, will you not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if I can find 100 good men? Well, he couldn't. What if I find 50 good men? If I find 10 good men? They couldn't even find one good man. But if we can find a handful of good men, I know this is going way out on a damn rabbit trail. If enough of us people here, maybe the people like, and I'm not putting me and Braveheart up to some kind of a saint, but if enough of us like me, Braveheart, a few other people, if we can show faith that we believe in God, that we're not going to give up, we don't think that God can be defeated, all God wants is just a few people to stand up. Because let me tell you what, folks, there is no glory in, for instance, I got to make this quick. There's no glory in somebody saying a 6 foot six man, 300 pounds, going in and is kicking and living hell out of a midget. But if a midget goes and kicks the hell out of a 6 foot six, 300 pound man, that's the glory. God has always used a few. God has never worked through the majority. There's no glory in that. God has never worked through the smartest of the people. Scripture says, God uses the simple to confound the wise. He uses the weak to defeat the strong. How about that, Sister Braveheart?
Yeah, you're right about it's never the majority who's going to be at the forefront of this battle. But what we do need is the majority to come with us in this struggle. Like, I mean, most people are basically going about their daily lives, doing their work. But I think that the whole purpose of countering all the deceptions is so that they, all these people going about doing their daily lives, going about their work, having their families and whatnot, to just counter this total indoctrination, the degeneration, the demoralization, all these influences that are steering them in bad directions. So really, part of what we're about is to steer people in a direction that is life-giving instead of life-taking. And, you know, yeah, so we're not going to expect everybody to be the warrior at the front of this, but that we at least set the stage or set the table for, you know, a healthy discourse and a healthy way of life rather than the degenerated way of life that's been put upon us by our enemy, the eternal well poisoners, with their degenerative influences. So anyway, I'm back to you, Eddie. Just
and the poisoners of the well
here.
That's great. And I like it. It just struck me while you were speaking. We did something that we don't usually do. We usually start off with, like a lot of other people do, named problem, problem, problem. Oh, poor me, poor us. Let's gnash our teeth and wring our hands. And then we'll give a solution or two. But we started off this program giving solutions in this particular hour. And I really like that. I'm really glad we did that. And we were talking about, and here's the solution. We recognize this part of the solution that people like Braveheart and myself and the Bitter Ender, et cetera, we have recognized this this pessimism, this cynicism as being, it's a form of brainwashing. And Braveheart and I talked about on the break, and Braveheart mentions some movies like No Fireflies.
The Fireflies are gone. It's called The Fireflies Are Gone. Canadian film. I think it was around 2016 or so. Yeah.
And you know, the poisoners of the well, they control the media. They control Hollywood. They control movies. Like we used to say, telephone, telegraph, a radio. They control the media. That cannot be argued. And they program this type of movies. You're never going to have a movie that's upbeat and shows white people, especially white Christians, being the good guys. And it's, in me and Braveheart, we talked about, it's a form of brainwashing. It really is. And you know what? Cynicism and cynicism, what's another word looking for? It's a form of brainwashing. That's the product of the brainwashing, to tell you, hey, there is no hope. I remember they had a book, I believe it was, made a bad movie. Later on, back in these, when I came home from Vietnam, there was one called Silent Spring, I believe it was. It could have been before or after. There was
I think Rachel Carson.
I wish I knew. Yeah. And also, one of the first courses I took at the University of Memphis was some psychology courses. And we had a fellow who taught psychology, and it was an elective. And he was talking about, he was from California. I hope I'm not getting too off far on a rabbit trail. He talked about this book, Future Shock. And you and Jacob were talking about culture shock coming out of prison. Well, he was saying that technology was going to increase so much that people, even in their 30s and early 40s, would struggle to adapt in a modern system. And even back in, you know, late 60s, early 70s, like, I was having trouble, excuse me, early 70s, I was having trouble adapting after being gone for several years. Used to, you would open a door for a woman, and you would get, you know, they would like you to do that, but you can't do that anymore. But I'm getting too far astray there.
That's such a good point. I talk about that quite a lot, because, and that again is through this feminist agenda that has been put upon us. And so, yeah, it's kind of a small example that speaks of the bigger picture, though, that, you know, it's no longer good to be chivalrous as a man in our indoctrinated feminist society. And so if men are no longer opening doors for women, I mean, that seems like a trivial thing, but it symbolizes the bigger picture.
Yes.
That, you know, women, I mean, somebody who is really bought into the feminist agenda, like a young relative of mine, this young man who said, the women would be insulted if you talked about, you know, should protect them or whatever. This is after my brother wrote about all these European men who have been so deballed that they're not protecting their women from all the invaders raping the women. And you know, this relative of mine said, oh, that's an insult to the women. They can take care of themselves. And my brother, Alfred, he says, yeah, you say that without turning red in the face to the woman who's just been gang raped by a bunch of invaders, you know, like, that's what it's come down to. So this opening the door thing is just really quite symbolic of a bigger picture there that has caused us to, you know, cause the breakdown of this, well, the femininity and the masculinity that, you know, they talk about toxic masculinity, and then to be feminine for a woman is no longer okay or something in this, you know, feminist society. Oh, we're just like men and all this, which is nothing but a bunch of hogwash. But I really interrupted you. Go ahead, Eddie.
No, you didn't. You're doing fine. No, you're doing great. You know, that's all part, while we're on this, that's all part of the attack on white people. That's,
it sure,
you know,
is.
And the way that works is, that's having men and women to say, oh, there's no difference in men and women anymore. I know people in this. Listen, that's connected, believe it or not, to LGBTQ, whatever, to that movement. That if they try everything they can, they'll be the poisonous whale who control us and control the school system and the media. You don't need to have kids. White people are bad. It's better to be a queer, to have your testicles surgically removed. That way you won't bring in another racist white person, because if you're born white, you're automatically racist. We'll revisit this topic as soon as we come back to this break. It's kind of a long break, folks. Get you some coffee or whatever. We'll be right back in about 5 minutes. Hang on, folks.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Now have more credit card debt than at any time in history, owing a staggering $1.3 trillion collectively. What happens when most people can't pay their bills? Well, the U.S. economy is clearly moving into uncertain territory. That's why more Christians are turning to gold just for their peace of mind. I'm Lance Wallnau, Christian news analyst with a 30-year track record of predicting trends. The Bible tells us that gold is a time-tested store of value that can protect your God-given assets through almost anything, including America's historic debt bubble. And here's the good news. You can own gold through your 401k or IRA. My friends at Birch Gold Group can help you buy gold for your retirement account, tax-free and penalty-free. To learn more, text the word FAITH to 989898 for an info kit from Birch Gold that's entirely free, zero cost or obligation. Text that next step right now and take it. Text FAITH to the number 989898 for your free info kit. That's FAITH to 989898.
A moderately strong earthquake has struck eastern Turkey, causing widespread panic. No report of any serious injury or significant destruction. The magnitude 5.9 quake struck the town of Kale. Hong Kong's government says it will phase out the territory's smallest apartments, setting a minimum size at 8 square meters.
Hong Kong has more than 100,000 tiny homes. Officially, they're called subdivided flats. Informally, they're known as coffin apartments for the city's poorest residents. They exist because the territory has little space and 7 million people, putting pressure on housing. In his annual policy address, Hong Kong's leader John Lee said the tiniest apartments would now have to go. He said in future they'd all need their own windows and toilets and must be a minimum of 8 square metres. Even that is a very small space.
BBC correspondent Michael Bristow reporting. Breaking news at townhall.com. A full-scale replica of the annex where Anne Frank and her family hid from the Nazis is heading to New York.
In 1942, Anne Frank, a 13-year-old Jewish girl, and her family went into hiding from Nazi occupiers in the annex of a home in Amsterdam. They and another family stayed there until they were discovered in 1944. Now an exact replica of the annex is being built in the Netherlands. It'll be shipped to New York, where it will be on display at the Center for Jewish History in Manhattan. And on display will be one of the yellow stars the Nazis ordered Jews to wear. I'm Donna Water.
A Texas man who this week could be the first person in the U.S. executed for a murder conviction tied to the diagnosis of shaken baby syndrome is awaiting a decision on his request for clemency from a state board there. Robert Robertson, scheduled to be executed for the 2002 killing of his 2-year-old daughter. More of these stories at townhall.com. I'm John Scott.
Tell you some boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, it feels really good to have Braveheart in here today. And this, like Braveheart and I have said, though, this being recorded, it's kind of like a different feeling when you record a program. But I think we're giving you as quality a program as we possibly can. We're trying to serve our purpose as a journalist, a reporter. We try to bring you the best stuff we can, as true as we can, as unbiased as we can. But I would just like to say this before we go forth. Never forget who the ultimate enemy is. You can talk about politics. You can talk about religion. You can have university professors in telling you about economics, how the stock market works, how the Federal Reserve works. But keep in mind, when you distill all that down, and you have 5 gallons of mash, so to speak, that you're going to take the corn mash and you make beer, and then you distill that into alcohol, and you get the 198 proof alcohol. It's only a drop or two. Well, when you distill all that down, hope that makes sense, you get to your enemy. When you rake back the garbage pile, you have a garbage pile with 500 pounds of garbage. When you get to the bottom of that garbage pile, the enemy, and I borrowed that from a fellow by the name of our beloved Fuhrer Adolf Hitler. When you pull back all the garbage, the rotting garbage with the maggots on everything, the problem, it'll always be a Jew. Your problem, you cannot name a problem, especially in this nation right here, For instance, we're skirting with all-out nuclear war, not only in the Ukraine, but in Israel and the Middle East now. But in this LGBT crap we got, the attack on white people, trying to tell people, oh, you do not need to have kids. No, that's the worst thing you can do, because if you're white, you were born racist, and you need to die. And this Jewish professor said, and I've heard a Braveheart talk about this, this Jewish professor said, it was hard to imagine anyone that would object to the white race being exterminated from the face of the earth. So their ultimate goal has been since the Garden of Eden, and we had a fellow talk about her seed being Eve, the seed of Eve would be against the seed of Satan. It's been that way since before the Bible. It's been that way since time again. And it still is, because these people that fight us, these Jews, they are of their father, the devil. Their end goal has never changed since day one. That's to exterminate us in any way they can. And this LGBT crap is a form to get us to quit having kids, and telling men that there's no difference between men and women, telling women the same thing. It's the same thing. It's all a form of exterminating us by us not having any children, poisonous through the food, poisonous through the air, et cetera, et cetera. And before we go to another topic, I'll ask Braveheart, well, at least she'd like to respond to that before I'm going to go to another topic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that was a great little summation of affairs. Here's the thing, Eddie. Somehow we think that we're getting smarter all the time and know more all the time. We're waking up and getting aware of things. But, you know, most of our history, I would say, over the last couple thousand years, anyway, I now have come to the conclusion, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I have come to the conclusion that during most of those years, more people were aware of the Jewish menace than are aware of it now. I think that probably the decades after World War II were really, really instrumental in the Jews, they were very successful in getting us so bamboozled and deceived and put them out of our mind as being, you know, they are the root of our problems. And they put themselves into the victim role. I mean, I think they've always done that in the past too, but I really have the impression that in the past, people and especially, you know, leaders and, you know, influential people were very aware of the Jewish menace. Do you think that's true?
I think you hit it right on the nail. Hit the nail right on the head. Matter of fact, I can remember as a child, I can remember my grandfather and on my mother's side, I guess you'd call it a maternal grandfather, and my dad speaking, and they were talking about Jews. And I didn't know what they were talking about because I'm 7 or 8 years old. Didn't care. The only thing I cared about in those days was hunting and fishing, digging up worms, fish bait, stuff like that, killing squirrels and rabbits for food. But they were talking about that. And I remember my dad telling my grandfather, he said, the Jews, and I didn't know what he's talking about, but I remember sitting around this, we ran a campfire. The Jews will eat the Gentiles. They'll eat up all the Gentiles, get rid of them. He said, and when the Gentiles are gone, the big Jews would eat the little Jews. I had no earthly idea what he's talking about. But it's true, you know.
It is. Yeah.
Pick your danger. And I was listening to a podcast that Judge Napolitano that Rand sent me. In fact, I talked to Rand this morning for about 35 minutes. And he is working his butt off, man. That guy, I tell you, Rand is like a hero of mine. He works. He's putting in endless hours. In fact, it's kind of a comedy remark. He communicates with my wife some there on Facebook. Only time I go on Facebook is to see which way the route's going to be run through breakaway running, how far we're going to go, which way we're going to go, et cetera. But he said that dodging angry mother cows with sharp horns and putting up fences and ripping your hands on barbed wire and getting stung by bees. He said that should be an Olympic sport. And he's probably right, but he works as hard as anybody I know. Bless his heart. he's really one of a kind. But, and, you know, also, he's the one that sent us that great audio video last week of that Green Beret captain. I forgot who sent it to him. I was telling him all about this audio. His audio. He said, "Well, who the hell do you think sent that to you, Bombardier?" I said, "Oh, you." He said, "Yeah." Well, he sent another one, and I'll just kind of cap it a little bit to show you who our ultimate enemy is. Judge Knapp is the lone wolf calls him. Lone wolf being Rand Owens. He said he had this guy named Professor Jeffrey Sachs. And I listened to it, and they were talking about Netanyahu. And I didn't know Netanyahu had been in power for 30 years. But they're talking about how his whole Netanyahu is a, he really is, he's a psychopath. He's he's crazy, but it doesn't matter because this Jeffrey Sachs is saying stuff that me and Braveheart have known forever, that the Jews, and I'll just put it in my own words, the Jews have the testicles of the United States government with piano wrapped around them, piano wire. And if these politicians, these people, the governors, the congressmen, the senators, the Supreme Court judges, if they get a little bit out of line, all they can do is pull on that piano wire and it comes down those testicles. And I'm going to tell you,
what a great image that is. That's a really, really true image.
Well, they run it. And guess what? Professor Sachs had come to the conclusion that there's no way. He said, is there any way the United States can or will ever say no to Israel? Well, I'm 77 years old, and since I've known about Israel, they've never said no. So I'm telling you, it'd be like Israel saying no to Israel. People say that, you know, Israel controls the United States. Hell, we are living in Israel. It's in this maniacal Israel. And I'll tell you right now, they point out the fact that Israel, Netanyahu has made it plain. I'm going to shut up a minute, go to Braveheart. Netanyahu's, his thing, his stick from the beginning is to make the world safe for Israel, not in America. He didn't give a damn about the United States. To weaken, and he's always talking about Netanyahu and our leaders here, you've heard him talk about ad nauseum. We have to go to the Mideast. We have to fight and die and spend our fortune, spend our treasure for Israel because, and really, it's for our own security. I'm going to make fun of some people. I'd rather fight over there than fight over here. I'd say, well, who the hell's They say, well, we'd rather fight them over there than fight them over here. But they'll say, I'm fight over there. Well, who's No, but hope y'all got that little crappy joke. But he says, Netanyahu, when he's talking about going to war with Iran, and I didn't think about this, he hadn't said anything about Israel going to the war. He's not, when he talks about going to war, he's talking about taking the United States to war against Iran. Because the United States, and they were saying a great point they made, I got to shut the hell up, that Israel and most of the dim bulbs in the United States think that the United States is so almighty powerful that they can come in and protect Israel from Iran. And once they come in there, once the United States, and there are boots on the ground in Israel right now with their super high-tech anti-aircraft radar systems, et cetera, the world will be safe. I mean, they'll be safe from Israel. But this Professor Sachs said, well, how's that worked out for the Ukraine? They've lost 600,000 soldiers. And, well, damn, I can't believe that. The break's over. Hey, we got a break coming up already. Well, folks, I got to shut the hell up. When we come back, I'll make this quick. We'll finish with some of our last break of the second hour. Be right back, folks.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag.
Anyway, before I keep on my roll, I'd like to make a plea out of here to all of our military men that are listening to this. Is it better to get a dishonorable discharge and maybe do a few months in jail, or is it better to go ahead and obey your slave masters, your commander-in-chief, and go and die for Israel? And you get a silver star, get a purple heart, get a posthumous, whatever we call it, Medal of Honor. Oh, he's dead. He was such a wonderful guy before he got blown out of hell. Is it better? Which is better, to go ahead and tell your commanders to kiss your ass? You're not going to go and fight and die for the Satan worshiping, these Christ hating Jews in Israel? Or is it better to go ahead and just say no? Back in the hippie days, back in the 60s, there was a phrase people write on the wall. What if they gave a war, but nobody came? Well, anyway, I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Like, evidently, Netanyahu for 30 damn years had been egging the United States on to more and more psychological no-win wars. They're doing it right now. They're trying to get us involved in this endless war in Iran. And Professor Sachs is saying that if he does that, it's going to be the death knell of Israel. Israel will no longer exist because Iran is much, much, much stronger than they were 30 years ago. They have an ally called Russia. They have nuclear weapons. They have hypersonic intercontinental ballistic missiles. They got all that stuff. And like I said, before we went to the break, Netanyahu's not talking about Israel going to war with Iran. He wants us, our American boys, to fight and die for the stinking Jews over there in the sandbox and to free them. Well, so I'm saying this with the Professor Sachs and Judge Knapp, the conclusion they come to is what we do about 30 years ago. Who runs the United States? Israel runs them. Israel does not give a damn about the United States. And in closing, Professor Sachs is pointing out what we talked about last week. These Israeli, the IDF troops, murdering, going into hospitals and killing people that are on ventilators, killing babies, I mean, killing anybody in the show that they can, because they're saying that war is hell, and they're going to show anybody, they being the Israelis, anybody that tries to stand in their way, to get in their way and try to thwart their will, they're going to pay the most horrible deaths. They will spare no one. The Israelis are saying that they will kill men, women, children, dogs. They'll burn them alive. And after the children are dead, they'll turn hungry dogs loose on them, let them feed on the children in the front of the parents. For God's sakes. And Israel is doing this on purpose, Professor Sachs said, to show the world And they've even attacked the UN peacekeepers, for God's sakes. I've never heard of anybody doing that. They're killing the Irish UN peacekeepers over there. And Israel's doing it. And they've denounced they're going to get rid of the head of the United Nations. And they're doing it. They're showing the world we can do anything we want to do. We can kill anybody we want to do for any reason, just because we want to do it. And the war, and who the hell is going to stop us? Nobody. Not the United States. That's for damn sure. So one more last plea. Anybody out there in the National Guard, the Army, the Navy, Marines, get the hell out of that Zog military and tell them to go to hell. And you know what? Defend your own country. Defend your own state. Defend your own county. Defend your mother, your grandmother, your parents. Don't try to defend these Jews in Israel. Go ahead, Sister Monica. I hope it didn't take up too much time.
No, you're on a roll, Eddie. This is great. So, yeah, if all those people in the military, the U.S. military, who were recently deployed, like after the storm and hurricane and flooding happened in North Carolina and where they really were needed, and they got deployed overseas, I don't remember where they went to, if they had all just en masse, like you suggest, just quit and say, no, we're staying home, we're going to North Carolina to help the people there. Can you imagine what a change that would have made? What a difference that would have made? That would have been basically like this internal massive revolt to say, yeah, we are going to take care of our own people and we're not going to go fight Israel's wars anymore. And, you know, instead of that, what do? They're impeding the help for the people who are cut off by the floods and who knows how many people have died already and without everything, without power, and they're just totally cut off. So are they going hungry? Probably. Do they have, you know, potable water to drink? I don't know. I mean, the people, and then the civilians who are going to help, they're being impeded. So boy, if that doesn't tell you that our own government is at war with us, but of course our government and the American government and the Canadian government as well, they're at war against the people here. And of course we know who is running or wielding the puppet strings. It is the Jews. It's always the Jews. Then, yeah, they're at war with us. And then what happens, our soldiers go and get deployed, or, you know, yours, I'm in Canada here, but still we're in a communist country too here. But the soldiers get deployed overseas to fight Israel's wars. Are you kidding me? Just when they are needed at home to help the victims of these storms. And by the way, those storms, which I think were geoengineered to be more intense, and, you know, they're directed and geoengineered by all these energy weapons systems and the chemtrailing, all that stuff, right? Geoengineering. So.
True.
That's another aside, but yeah, it's all backwards. So if it isn't apparent to people where the war really is and who the war is against, then, you know, that's where, yeah, we've got to open our eyes, folks, and stop helping the enemy. That's the, you know, step one is stop fighting on behalf of our enemy against ourselves. So that's probably in a nutshell there. But go back, go carry on, Eddie. You're on a roll.
You know what? I'd like to back up what you said, Sister Braveheart. The Tennessee National Guard, this wonderful Israeli loving, Jew loving governor we have. They've got piano wire around his testicles. He may like it, but they just sent a battalion. I've heard from 700 to 900 men. There's roughly 1,000. Depends on the size of your company. About a battalion of Tennessee National Guard pulled away. Tennessee, East Tennessee is just devastated. Along, like Sister Monica said, East Tennessee, North Georgia, North Carolina. And like Rand and I were talking about today, wintertime is approaching. And it gets cold in those mountains up there. It gets much colder than it does here in Memphis. But they took them away. And I'd like to ask these Tennessee National Guard guys that are so gung-ho to go kill them Arabs. What about when they start bringing in thousands of these Haitians, like they are up there in Springfield, Ohio, like they are in Alabama, like they are in Mississippi, and like I've seen some here in Memphis? What about when they bring thousands of those people, fly them in luxury jets, and put them in there 50 feet from your girlfriend, from your wife, your mother, your granddaughters, and they're getting raped for a fare ye well, can you just say, well, like Lindsey Graham said, oh, well, I know the women, they probably don't like getting raped by 50 or 60 of them niggas, but just think the hell our poor Israeli brothers are going, our Jewish brothers who are their chosen people, and you know, we got to do what they say, even if they say we need to let our people die. We have to follow them because, like the Southern Baptists say, they're God's chosen people, and whoever blesses Israel, we will bless. But I'm asking you that. Why can't we just, if we're going to send the National Guard someplace else besides the protecting our own people, Sister Monica, why the hell can't we send them down here to start kicking the hell out of these foreigners that are coming in, these colored foreigners that come in, they're here to kill white people. They're, you know, and why can't we do that? You mean our governor does not going to take care of our own borders? They're not going to take care of the Mexican border, the Arizona border, the New Mexico border, to keep these endless floods of colors coming in here? We can't keep Tennessee. We can't keep Springfield, Ohio. We can't keep these places in Alabama from being flooded with these damn, these feral animals, these feral blacks. Why? What are the people, what are the governors of the state, what are the of the county representatives, the state representatives, are going to stand up and tell the government to kiss their ass? If they keep sending these damn illegals in here, they're going to take the law in their own hands. They're going to take matters in their own hands. And these damn elected officials are going to wish the hell they never stirred up we the people. But it's the, and the solution, we're always talking about solutions, Sister Monica. The solution lies in we the people. It's like Alexander Solzhenitsyn said years ago when he came to Harvard to make that big speech. Back in the 70s, I believe it was, around 74. He said the one thing that jumped out of him more than anything in the world, like in my own words, like a Roman candle going off in a darkened coal mine, is the lack, the complete utter lack of courage of the white Western men. So it's we the people. Like Dr. Hill said, yeah, we can name Jew, but you know what? We, the Jew, they could not do what they're doing to us if we had white men to stand up against them, Sister Monica.
Yeah. You know, imagine if it doesn't take the whole platoon to revolt. Imagine if just even 5% of those soldiers just refused to go overseas when they were recently deployed, like what you were talking about, the 700 or 900.
Michael Liu did it. He's still alive.
But imagine if let's say 5%, that would be like, I don't know, 35, 40, 45 men. And I guess women too now these days, but that would cause something. That they couldn't just ignore that. They could not just ignore that, and it would cause such a ripple effect. I think that would just be fantastic. And so it really doesn't take 100% of them to be on board right off the bat, because that would be impossible to achieve that. But you're right. I mean, you know, there's that old saying about hard times make strong men, and strong men build
good times
make our lives comfortable. How does it go? You probably know it much better than I do, but basically we've gotten soft, right?
That's right. Good. It goes something, you're on the right. It's something like hard times make good strong men. Good strong men make good times. Good times make soft men. Soft men make hard times.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, it's,
yeah,
it's
something
cycle.
Like that. So, you know, we've come out of very, very comfortable times, gotten, you know, fat and lazy. And but not, I mean, that's just a real crude generalization. But really what has happened is on in general, we fell asleep. But, you know, let's just remind everybody, what's that motto of the Mossad? It's
by way of deception.
Make war, by way of deception, make war. So that is the war we are in, is by deception. And so it's not just that we've gotten soft, but we have been so deceived to make us mentally ill, really. And you could say, well, wait a minute, we're not all mentally ill, but if we en masse are behaving in a way that is self-destructive, well, that's mental illness. So yeah, but we're doing our utmost to get people out of that. See this as an opportunity. You know, we can put meaning in our lives by
Amen.
Yeah, so amen. I guess that's it. We're going out now, aren't we?
Well, dear people, dear Blood River Radio fam, we're getting ready to transition to the third hour. We're going to pick up the Bitter Ender, and the Bitter Ender and Miss Braveheart are going to pretty much, they're going to ramrod the third hour. I'm just going to be a spectator just like you are. Be right back, folks. Go get you some coffee.